Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Allow me to pray as we begin this service together. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this morning. We praise you and we lift you up. As we read in that psalm, as we heard it being read to us, you are a great God, God who is compassionate, God who is with us, God who knows all our needs, and God who provides. And we want to praise you and we want to worship you. We want to give you thanks this morning because you call us to be your children. And you have given us that privilege through your Son, Jesus. And so we are thankful, Heavenly Father, that we are in your presence and we praise you and we worship you. We ask all this and we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, some of you know that I have a bent finger, right? You see, it doesn't bend, the middle finger. And some of you know the story of this bent finger. It involves a dog by the name of Benji, who I can tell you the story. I was holding him one day at the vet's office, and he pulled when he saw another dog, and then both these fingers got pulled, and the middle finger, the tendon snapped. And after about 3 weeks, I went for a surgery, and they couldn't really straighten this finger because it's going to be like this forever until I live. So Benji lives through me, even though he will die in a few years. That's the story, isn't it? In the book of Joshua, in the Old Testament, as the people of Israel were crossing the mighty river Jordan to enter the promised land, their leader Joshua told the people to take 12 stones and cross over to the other side. You kind of wonder, what's going on with these 12 stories? Why 12 stones? Not stories, 12 stones. Have a look at these verses from Joshua chapter 4. It says, Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord. The stones told a story. The stones told a story. It was a reminder to the people of what had happened, that they didn't cross over the River Jordan on a big ship. They didn't cross over a bridge. No, the Lord had dried it up until they had crossed over. The stones told the story of God's faithfulness, God's power, his nearness, and his grace. The 12 stones told a story to the next generation, so the people were to tell the next generations of God's faithfulness, so that they, the next generations, will continue to trust in the Lord. But the stones also was a reminder that God wants to be known by not just the people of Israel, but the whole earth. The reason why God dried up the river from before their eyes to walk was not just for their benefit. It was not just to witness his power to the people of Israel. No, it was for the benefit of everyone on earth, so that they too may know him and fear him. He wanted that ultimate purpose of making him known to be reminded by those stones. And that is the ultimate purpose, isn't it? Ultimate purpose of the stones, that God be known, not just by us, not just by our children, our own people, but peoples of the earth. Now, all of us carry some stones, don't we? Not one, maybe many stones. It may not be an actual stone. For me, it is a bent finger. It doesn't tell the story, just the story of Benji. It tells the story of God's provision for me during that time. How I met a Christian surgeon who operated on me without a cost for me. It was a testimony of God's provision for me. Benji is just part of the story, but God is the big story, isn't it? I wonder what stories you have, what stones you have, something that reminds of a season that you went through. It could be an actual object that you carry around of a season, from a season that you've been through. It may be a permanent scar or a wound. It could be the jobs that we have, the houses that we live, the healing that we might have received. It could be an answer to our prayers. It could be something that God has still not answered yet. Sometimes our lives itself is a stone that tells a story, isn't it? But I think the reminder for this morning for us is that God has given us these stories to remind us how faithful He is, how good He is, how trustworthy He is, and to continue to trust Him and cherish Him and to obey Him. But also to remind us that these stones are not just for us, it is for those around us. God uses our stones to make Himself known to people around us, to point people to Jesus, so that they too can know God, trust Him, cherish Him, and have a relationship with Him through Jesus. So today we're going to hear a few of those stories of stones that God has put in people's lives and how that has shaped and had an impact on people's lives. But so as I said this morning, there are a few who have prepared to share their stories, how God has been working in their lives. But later in the service, there will be a time if you are prompted during the service to share something briefly to encourage one another. It is a time to encourage one another, pointing to God, how God has been at work in our lives. It could be something that happened just this week, because God is always at work in our lives, isn't it? So I'm going to invite Louise, and she's going to share first, and then after that, Marie will come and share. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Louise, and I'd like to share this morning about what the Lord has done in my life the last few years with a view to encourage you to share Christ, our gentle Saviour, with others. I became a believer at 19 years old, and a maturer, close family friend had been praying for our family for over 30 years. I believe it's the result of her persistence and diligence in prayer that our family knows the Lord today. She always encouraged me to share Christ with others and taught me how she finds common ground with people. I found that it was always easy for me to open conversations with random people, and sometimes I found complete strangers would share their life struggles with me out of nowhere. In the last few years, I've experienced a very tough situation that the Lord has brought me through. It was something I never thought the Lord would deliver me from, but I needed to trust Him in the storm, and He delivered me. He also taught me many valuable lessons and grew me up in Him. I believe it was in this trial I grew deeper in my relationship with God and to trust Him more. During the whirlwind, I had time off work and didn't want to squander this time, but the Lord put in my heart to work for him, and God had granted me this. It wasn't instant, but a work in progress. As God guided me through this tumultuous season, it was also a time of great learning, but I learned to hear and discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. COVID was happening simultaneously, and we can all agree life was uncertain and anxiety gripped us all. I had become great friends with a brother named George from another church that was passionate about evangelism, and we both had the vision and desire to bring the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost. Bound by many rules and regulations, we found it was easier for churches and for us to begin our own evangelism presence ministry called Real Love Ministry that proclaims the real love of Jesus Christ to the lost. How could we let people know they had a Saviour who died to save their soul, whose life was in their hands, that they could trust and who was in control in the midst of a dire, dark world? We could do our bit and evangelise. Real Love Ministry was birthed out of wanting to bring Jesus to people and people to Jesus urgently to plant seeds of the gospel. Our approach is to explain that the real love of God is different to the world's love. People seek to fill a hole in our hearts by looking for love in the wrong places, and it's conditional and based on selfish needs and desires. After much prayer, planning and preparation, we launched the ministry on the 2nd of April 2023 at Graceway Church, who graciously allowed us to hold training followed by heading out in teams to Paul Keating Park at Bankstown. We had amazing conversations with people about the Lord and were able to proclaim his love and show the way to salvation. We had a turnout of at least 15 evangelists. At times, the Lord led us to just listen, and at times we needed to be brief. We use a track to open with a question of, can anyone give you sacrificial and unconditional love? Some responses were comical, as you can imagine, especially when it came to husbands and wives. Others were intrigued, others expectedly rejected. Last week, on Wednesday 19th of April 2023, we went to Burwood Park on the spur of the moment. God gave us the privilege to pray with a group of five young girls who had prayer requests for different needs. Brother George asked if they wanted to accept the Lord. One girl, Jemima, asked for prayer to accept Jesus as her Lord and Saviour. We thank God for this. And others on the team gave out Gospels of John and were able to point souls to the Saviour by God's grace. We noticed people are hungry for the Word of God, and teenagers opened up about a tough world they are living in with no respect or value for them and are sick of being in constant comparison to others. One team exclaimed, "I think I was born in the wrong time." We were able to testify of God's personal love towards them and wanting to have a relationship with them. They appreciated this, and it was a blessing to talk with them. One gentleman, I believe from Sweden, had never heard of Jesus. A team member was able to share Christ with him boldly. It was a blessed afternoon, but this call isn't just for Real Love Ministry or for Louise, who speaks to random people off the street, but I'd like to encourage each person in their sphere of influence to testify of what the gentle Saviour has done for us. He has died personally for our sins, and people need to know where they can find rest for their souls through repentance and faith in the Son of God. May I leave you with a couple of Bible verses to encourage you. Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Thank you for listening.
I suppose if you look at me closely and if you watch me walking up here and getting down from here, you'll know that I'm carrying an invisible rock. And I guess what I'm going to share with you this morning probably has something to do with that. I was really blessed about a month ago, and I want to share with you that blessing because I hope it encourages you in your prayer life and in knowing what a wonderful God we serve. And I'm so happy you read that beautiful psalm this morning, Grace, because they really speak of our wonderful God. About 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I woke up one morning and I was feeling terrible. Actually, if I'm going to be honest, I was in a very bad place. And as the morning progressed, it got worse and I felt really terrible. I felt like the world was closing in on me and I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even pray. I could only manage to say, God, help me. And in the course of the morning, Ed had to go somewhere and I was home on my own and struggling, really struggling. And I think it has to do with that big, horrible boulder. But I needed to go out and get some essential things, so I did. But I spent most of the time just sitting in the car, just unable to do anything. And eventually I came home and I went inside and something absolutely extraordinary happened. And I think something extraordinary happened as I was taking the things out of the bag in the kitchen. This dark, sinister thing that had gripped my heart and soul just seemed to lift. And I could actually feel it. It's ridiculous to say that, but I don't know how else to tell you. I could feel this thing lifting, and at the same time, peace was just coming back into my heart. It was just this extraordinary moment, and it was in the blink of an eye. It was like someone had switched on a light in a dark room. I don't know how else to explain it. And I remember I was so stunned. I thought, Lord, what are you doing? What's happening to me? Anyway, fast forward a few hours, and Ed and I were in a park in the afternoon with our little granddaughter. And out of the blue, I got a text. And it was from Sui. And it was unusual because Sui and I were not in the habit of exchanging texts. And her message read, "How are you today, Marie? I have been praying for you." And my heart just missed a beat, especially when I read on, because she sent me an ensuing text and it said, "At 12:30 today, during my lunch hour, I was prompted by the Spirit to pray for you. So I found an empty conference room and I went in and I prayed for you intermittently." And she said, "But it was weird because as I prayed, tears were flowing." Now, Sui had no way of knowing that at 12:30 that day, I was sitting in the car sobbing, unable to stop sobbing. And it was just moments before I went inside. Now, I know that sounds like a wonderful coincidence to some of you. And I've been thinking about that afternoon, and I'm still blessed by it. And it's brought back to mind something else very similar that happened some years back when my mum was still alive. And I was getting ready for work early one morning, and I got a phone call, and it was from a neighbour of mum's whom I didn't know. And she said, "Marie, I'm with your mum, and I've had to call an ambulance for her, and we're just waiting." And mum was duly taken to hospital that morning. Later that day, I sent out a prayer request on our prayer app at our previous church. We had a really strong prayer group. And shortly after, I got a phone call from a friend, Alex. Louise knows Alex. And he said, "Marie, there's something I need to share with you." And he said, "This morning, on my way to work, I was praying. And I suddenly felt this need to pray for your mum. And he said it was such a heavy burden on my heart that I pulled over on the side of the road and I prayed for her. I didn't know why I was praying, but I knew she needed prayer." Now, I have to tell you that Alex had never met my mother. So I said to him, "What time was that?" And he said, "Around 7. Well, at around 7 that morning, My mum had gone out to pick up her newspaper, and when she got to the bottom of the drive, she collapsed. There was no one in the street. Mum only had elderly neighbours, and it was a very quiet street anyway. And it had just started sprinkling, so no one there. But at that moment, someone three doors down across the road came out to fetch her newspaper. And before she turned around to run back inside, because the rain was coming, she thought she noticed something in the corner of her eye, and it was my mum. She probably saved mum's life by calling the ambulance that day, because mum had a blood clot in her lungs. Well, I have to say there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that when Alex pulled up to pray for her, that woman came out of her front door. There's no doubt in my mind. And that afternoon when I got Sue's text, I was just filled with awe, with humility, with a sense of God's compassion and love. It was as though God had put his wing around me and covered me and said, Marie, I'm always with you. Did you forget that? And your burden is my burden, if you'll let me carry it. And I was convicted of one thing, that God hears and heeds the prayers of his saints who pray in faith. Because when someone pulls over on the side of the road to pray for an unknown person, that's praying in faith. And when someone looks for an empty room at work to pray for a friend because the Spirit prompted her, that's praying in faith. And the Bible reminds us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Powerful and effective. Do I believe that? Yes, I do. And if you think it was a coincidence that day, then I say think again. Yesterday at our prayer meeting, we were just reminded that prayer is a ministry. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? Because every Christian is a part of that ministry. There's no escaping. If we're a Christian, we are a minister of prayer. And that's so encouraging to know that we can pray anywhere, anytime, for anyone, whether we know what they need or not. We can do that, and we should do that. And we're exhorted to do that in the Bible. The other day I was reading a passage in that passage in Isaiah, I can't remember where he rebukes his people and he says to them, you have not because you ask not. And it struck me that God wants us to ask. He wants to bless us. God wants us to ask so he can give. What a God. What a God we serve. And I won't go on, but I'll finish here. And I want to finish with Paul's exhortation at the end of the letter to the Colossians, where he says, and listen to this, he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. And be alert to me means be alert to the Spirit. And I was humbled that day for all the times that I haven't prayed for someone when I've the intuition to pray for someone has come, or when I haven't picked up the phone to send a message or to speak to someone. I was really rebuked. But I was so, so greatly blessed that day, and I hope you're blessed to know that God knows, he sees, he knows, and we need prayer. And we need to be open to that prompting, because who knows that God is using you to pray for that person and to bless them and to be blessed. So may God make us warriors of prayer.
Thanks, Marie and Louise, for sharing those encouraging words, isn't it? I mean, there's a theme happening there, isn't it? The prayer. Some person prayed for the family for 30 years, and out of that, a family is saved, and there's a ministry of love that's happening. And here we hear how God prompts people to pray for one another, and he's not given up on us. He is always looking at us, and because we've got a relationship with him through Jesus. I'm going to invite the music team to come up. I'm going to invite Daniel to come up and share his story. Thanks, mate.
Amen. Till he returns, here in the Christ of God, I will stand. How awesome is that? I want you to look at somebody near you, just anywhere, and tell them, hey, I'm not perfect. But here's the good news. There's the good news. But God still loves you. Exactly. I'm not perfect, but God still loves you. How awesome is that? You know, this week I was privileged to be asked to speak at an event, African Youth Initiative in Redfern. And I was reminded that I don't constantly have to be on stage to talk to God. I don't have to be on stage to talk about God. I can speak to him when I speak to people. How awesome is that? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I want to talk to you today about just a few things, unwavering faith, and how that can impact you even during your deepest and like droughtiest times of challenges. And I'll bring up somebody called, Moses. You'll hear about him later on. But essentially, I believed for a long time that Jesus did not exist. He is not around, because if he's around, how can he let all these things happen? And being asked to speak nowadays and being asked to speak on different events, I still think I'm not the right person for this, you know? And when you look at the Bible and who Jesus chose to be his disciples, they weren't perfect either. So I'm sorry to burst your bubble today, but nobody is perfect. But God still loves us. Jesus still chose them. Going through tough times, I want you to imagine for a minute, just to get a context of what I feel on a daily, regular basis. Imagine a stabby pain on your right side regularly, just constant jabs. And while you're going down, imagine the stabbing pain in the back of your head as well. And with that feeling every day, it's hard to, I guess, be cheerful. It's hard to see good in the world. And it's just not a good feeling. But I read and came to understand that God does not give us anything that we can't handle. And through his work and through the story of Jesus as well, watching how Jesus was crucified and how he did struggle. He did struggle. The Bible said he sweat blood, didn't he? That's extreme. So when going through tough times, number one, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it is tough. Be aware of it. Because that's, I guess, in AA meetings, it's like, that's the first stage, awareness. But also know that God is still with you. God is still with you through your deepest and darkest times. And that may be hard to understand at times when you're going through it, but believe he's right there with you. In the Bible, the story of Moses that I really, really want to get to, when God told Moses to go speak to Pharaohs and tell him to let my people go, what did Moses do? He was like, why me? Why did you choose me? I'm not good at speaking. I stutter and I shake and he's a person of authority. So I'm gonna panic and I just get somebody else to do it because I'm not the right person to do it. So he's tried to deny his responsibility that was given to him. And he said, get Aaron to do it. Aaron. But God said, I know, God knows. God knows our capabilities. God knows our limits. He never gives us anything that we can't handle. When God told him to put his hand in his jacket, and when he did, it was leprosy. Now, I don't know if you know much about leprosy, but it's back then it was like basically a death sentence. Once you get leprosy, you're out of the village, and so you're just outcasted. And to see that and to just do it because God said it, that's unwavering faith. And of course, he panicked. He was like, oh man, what is this situation I'm in now? But God told him to put his hand back and his hand was healed again. God also told him to drop his stick to the ground. And what happened to the stick? It turned into a snake. And again, he panicked. He knows he's human. He gets bitten by that snake, it's over. And God told him to reach out his hand. Now, at that moment, I'm like, oh no. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I was like taught not to mess with wildlife. So if I see a snake, I'm like, yep. If I see a snake in my house, it's the snake's house now. You know, it's just going up for sale. But he trusted God, and he reached out, and the snake became a staff again. And we know the story. He went to speak to Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not listen because God hardened his heart. Now, sometimes when we go forward in life, we will encounter challenges and expect them. I learned that life is more ebb and flow. There are challenges where there is lesson to be learned here. And those challenges, tough times won't go away until I learn that lesson. And so, and some of us here have repeatedly experienced a tough time. And to that, I say pray. Keep praying. Keep having unconditional faith to God because he is faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. There's a verse that says, Philippians 4 verse 8, whatever is truth, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, just, and commendable, think about those things. Think about those things. That's what I'm going to leave you today. Today is my last day in Sydney, which is, I know, you're losing a very handsome looking person. I'm sorry for you guys. But it's also exciting times for me moving forward in the new chapter of my life. And there's a lot of panic, of course, but I trust God, and I trust that he is placing me somewhere else that I am more required. I learned this week that I can talk to people about God, not just on the stage setting, but in a day-to-day environment. I said my friend had good news this week, and I just yelled out, like, unconsciously, amen! And she just wondered, like, why do you always do that? And I was like, it's because it just means it's agree. Like, I agree with the good things that just happened. And she was like, okay, why? And I started talking about the Bible that way. I can't talk to your friend about God. I can, but it might bounce back quickly. But you know who can talk to your friend about God? You. You can talk to your friend about God. And it will be more receptive that way because I guess sheep beget sheep. They will listen to you more if you talk to them about God rather than if I talk to them about God. And I may say something to them that might give them the green light, but you have a more effective rate. And Jesus, before attending, you know, before ascending into heaven, he said, go into the ends of the earth and make, I guess, preachers, disciples. And that's what we are all called, especially those that know the word. You have a responsibility, really, to go and speak to those people that have not heard the word or have heard the word but want to know more. So with that, I leave that on to you. Challenge, should you accept it? And yeah, keep talking about God. Keep talking about the community that we are trying. Being here, we went to a few prayers group. We did a prayer walk, and it was so cool walking outside, stopping in a particular area and just dropping our head down while the world is still moving and just calming down and praying. It's an amazing feeling, and I encourage you to keep going with it. Thank you so much for listening.
Okay. Stay there, stay here.
Oh, no.
So you're heading off to Melbourne tomorrow.
Yes.
What's going to happen in the next few months?
Good question. Well, still working, still speaking, still being, I guess, unconditionally loved by God, and will continue to notice that and preach that on to others as I move forward.
Great. Anything that we can be praying for you?
I guess, like, as always, for all of us as well, just safety. Pray that we don't, I guess, waver when the opportunity comes to speak about God. And pray for others. Others.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for those who shared. And it is amazing, again, isn't it, how God uses each one of us in different seasons and different contexts. And I don't know whether you picked up on the fact that Dan is also a stand-up comedian. Well, yeah, we'll miss you. It's an opportunity for us, if there's anybody else who'd like to share briefly about what God has been doing or teaching you over the past little while. You're free to come up and share with us. Thanks, Jeanette.
Last Tuesday, Marie and Bev and I went and saw the movie The Jesus Revolution. Hands up if you've seen it. One. You should go and see it. It's a challenge. Some of the things you might not have agreed with, but I think as we came out, we talked about the challenge of accepting people, whoever they are, where they're at, whatever country they're from. It's the story of the hippie revolution back in the 70s, and thousands of young people came to faith and still are to this day. But the main thing that came out was that the church that this hippie guy turned up at was conservative, traditional, like our church. And he brought a group of hippies with him. And on one side of the church were all the conservatives, suits, ties, very stiff and starchy, and all the hippies on this side. And they were bright and happy and barefooted, and the minister was quite, originally when he was asked would he accept them, he'd said yes, but he said, I don't want bare feet and sand in the church. We can't have that on the carpet. But the movie struck me as, how welcoming are we? And I shared with Bevan, and I just felt I need to share this with you. It's a story that goes back to the 80s. Some will know. Trevor was there. We had a lady, an elderly lady, turned up here one Sunday night. She was called the Bowerbird of Burwood. Remember, Trev? She came in that door. I was about sitting in the middle there, and we only had about 15 people. Sunday night service, not many came out. The loyal people came, the spiritual ones. We thought we were spiritual because we came twice on Sunday. And she unfortunately sat in my pew, and the smell was horrendous. And sad to say, to my shame, as we sung a hymn, I moved three seats up. I've always regretted that. I just couldn't stand the smell that was next to me. She hadn't showered for months, obviously. But you know what? Over time, and that first night she came, she was deaf, the dear old thing. As she came in, she sang out, "Hello, everybody," at the top of her voice, and we're very conservative, and who is this? And she had food with her. We used to have a fellowship tea, but we knew she'd always collected food at the end of the day from the bins or from the shop. She was well known in Burwood. And she would bring these buns, and we were all sort of like, what do we do? Do we eat these buns? Lord, please bless us, don't let us get ill. But she had a heart, and she was, it turned out she was actually an atheist. But God gave me an absolute love for this dear woman. I used to take her home and give her a shower, because she said she didn't have a bathroom in her house. She lived in a little house round the corner here. And over time, her and Kel had the most amazing discussions, and over time she got away from being an atheist and began to believe in God. And I remember saying to my kids the first time, we're going to have Mrs. George home for dinner. It was like horror on their faces, Mrs. George. But she sat there and we realised she'd come from a very wealthy background, had a very knowledgeable brain, could talk about anything, but she was eccentric. And the time came when the neighbours complained of all the rats that were running around. And so the council came and said to Ben Richardson, we have to evacuate. She's got to go to a mental home because she's mental. Now, I knew she wasn't mental. She was eccentric. And we got a call about 8 o'clock one night that they'd taken her off to this Rose Earl place. And I had a friend, Heather, and I said, would you come with me? I want to go and get her out of there because she's not mental. She's eccentric. And we brought her home, but the council said they had to clear out everything. So we had a group of us went. Some of us will remember the rats. Jim Bosmer had a big bat and he was killing the rats as they ran out of the house. The house, as you walked in, every room was filled to the ceiling. We found there was a bathroom there, beautiful blue bathroom. We emptied everything. And the day that they had the big clean up, I took her to my house so that she didn't see what was happening, because for her, her one treasure was her husband, late husband's Masonic case with all his stuff in it. And I remember getting a call to say, you can bring her to her new home. And we pulled up and every room was clean. People in the church donated blankets, sheets, everything, new furniture. Piano was in the corner. There was a piano under all the rubbish. But do you know what she said when she walked in? Where's my husband's suitcase? It had gone. Everything had to be gone. And I've never forgotten the sadness I saw on her face. Now, she died a few weeks later, and I had given her a little book of psalm devotions, and I talked to her about the Lord, and I would pray with her. I took her to some of the appointments that she had, and she had a massive heart attack. And we got a policeman came here one Sunday morning after church and asked Ben would he go around and identify her. And, you know, the Lord really comforted my heart because I really loved her. God gave me an absolute love for that woman. It was like she was my mum. And I remember he came back and he said she looked very peaceful. And he said she had a little book of Psalms on her chest. And it was like God said to me, she's with me. And I felt so much at peace because God did that. But the challenge I felt from that movie was, how welcoming are we here? How often does somebody come in and we think, oh, I wonder who they are? Are we really a warm, welcoming church? Are we reaching out? It's been so great to hear these stories this morning, especially Daniel, you know, sharing our faith with others. We become so insular, we become comfortable. We can be very comfortable coming to church, going to Bible study, going to the prayer meeting. But what are we actually doing out there and sharing our faith? So it was just, it reminded to me, I'd forgotten all about Mrs. George, but God brought it back to me when I saw that movie. Go and see it. It'll challenge you. We were blessed, weren't we, after seeing that movie. Thank you.
Anybody else like to come and share?
And good morning, everybody. That happens just today, this morning. This morning, I got up at 6 o'clock and went to the Leon's room and prayed to God and read God's word from the book Jesus Calling and Jesus Always by Sarah Young. Then I had my breakfast and finished at 8:15, and I want to go back to my bedroom as it was cloudy. So I asked God, what shall I do, God? Go to the church or stay at home? Suddenly, a call on my home line, and it was Jeanette. And she asked, do you want me to pick you up? I said, oh God. I answered, yes, Jeanette, thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Help from God is also from people. God sent to us, and they are God's people. Now I want to read from Sarah Young, today's reading. When some basic need is lacking, time, energy, money, consider yourself blessed. Your very lack is an opportunity to latch onto me in an unashamed dependence. When you begin a day with inadequate resources, you must concentrate your efforts on the present moment. This is where you are meant to live, in the present. It is the place where I always await you. Awareness of your inadequacy is a rich blessing, training you to rely wholeheartedly on me. The truth is that self-sufficiency is a myth by pride and temporary success. Health and wealth can disappear instantly, as can life itself. Rejoice in your insufficiency, knowing that my power is made perfect in weakness. James 1 verse 2, my friends, consider yourself fortunate that all kinds of trial comes your way. But in Corinthians 12 verse 9, but his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy them to be proud of my weakness in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your ongoing care and protection and your love and your goodness. We thank you for your nearness. Father, we ask forgiveness for the times where we have not recognized or acknowledged that you are good. And Father, open our eyes as we walk out of this place to see you in every season of our lives. Lord, not just to see, but also, Lord, to proclaim, to tell others that you are good, that you love us, and Lord, that you have sent your Son Jesus to show that love, and that they may have a relationship with you. So, Father, as we go out to this world, we pray, may your love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen. Amen.